Earlier this week, we learned about 16th Street Community Health Center's public education efforts in the face of a continuing lead contamination crisis in Milwaukee. The city's health department has been in turmoil after revelations that it failed to follow up with residents whose home water supplies were found to have significant lead contamination issues.
It sounds like a bleak situation, but Yana Lambrinidou believes there is still hope for redemption in Milwaukee's response. Lambrinidou was a member of the Virginia Tech University team that uncovered the lead crisis in Flint, Michigan, and before that, in Washington, D.C.
She spoke in Milwaukee last week on policy solutions for Milwaukee's lead problems. First, she sat down in the offices of the Spanish Journal newspaper and talked about the message she wanted to get across with Lake Effect's Susan Bentz.
The work that is happening in Milwaukee is really at the forefront of the work that I'm involved in nationally in trying to address lead in drinking water. And Milwaukee has, I would say, the strongest and most effective coalition that is also achieving quite extraordinary change in how lead in drinking water is addressed and how it's being talked about.
So what are the changes you're hearing about?
I think that the real big change that's unique so far in this country is the transparency resolution that is really changing the way in which people are supported to think about lead in water and encouraging people to really see it as something that's prevalent, that would necessitate for protection the installation of filters. These are things that are not heard and certainly not officially sanctioned in other cities because the mantra, if you will, on lead in drinking water is that if your water utility meets federal standards, you have nothing to worry about. Your water is safe. Milwaukee now has moved beyond that myth in really letting people know that if you have lead-bearing plumbing, then you are at risk of exposure to lead in water. And this is really groundbreaking, amazingly, for 2018, that we're still just trying to uncover the basic facts about lead in water. But Milwaukee is really the national leader in achieving that. And I wanted to support this work. I believe very deeply in having worked on this issue for over a decade that I have not seen change happen locally without it being driven by activists on the ground, not on this issue. And Milwaukee is our hope nationally because it's showing us the way, not only that it can be done, but also in what is required for this to be done well. And what is happening here is that there's a diverse coalition of people on the ground, grassroots groups and nonprofit organizations and academics and people with different expertise and different networks and resources coming together to address this problem in a united way. And I think that's something that is rare and that is bearing fruit, and we're seeing it.
So, of course, you know the recent history of your colleague Mark Edwards having been here, our mayor at that point declaring families of young children should have filters. And then there have been all sorts of complications and difficulties, miscommunications, a health department which is at a minimum in turmoil or more. So all of that aside, you see Milwaukee as moving forward.
I do see Milwaukee as moving forward. First of all, the resolution, the transparency resolution, did pass. And I also think that it's going to be pretty impossible to shift paradigms in our thought and in our practice without this type of upset in our government agencies and this type of resistance that we're seeing. I think what the community is asking for in Milwaukee is really a paradigm shift, is asking for a different way to think about lead in drinking water, to communicate about lead in drinking water, to address it, to fund it. And so these changes that are systemic, they're institutional changes, do not happen with just a signing a piece of paper. And there are going to be people who are wedded to a paradigm that is not only ineffective, but is scientifically unsupported, and have built their careers within that paradigm, there's going to be resistance to the change. And I think that this resistance is only a healthy sign of cleansing, if you will, and shedding an old skin and an old way of thinking and moving into a new one. I think it's part and parcel of change.
The conversation this evening will be health impacts and policy solutions for Milwaukee's lead crisis. So what do you feel a key bit of your message will be this evening?
You know, I think that lead in drinking water is one of those contaminants that is addressed right now by the lead and copper rule, which is a regulation that renders residents and consumers partly responsible for protecting themselves from exposures. The lead and copper rule is a unique regulation in that, unlike almost every other drinking water regulation, does not require water utilities to ensure that there is no trace of the contaminant in the water when the water reaches people's taps. This is a regulation that allows for a lot of lead in drinking water, in fact, even when lead and copper rule standards are met. And so I think that policy solutions that are effective are going to need activists and residents and people on the ground who feel that the conditions are there for them to be working together with the government here to develop these solutions collaboratively. And right now, it's quite clear that the government is going to need to respond to demands that have not yet been met, so that the conditions hopefully can be created for residents and government officials to come together and create solutions together. Lead in drinking water is a complicated problem, and it does require respect and collaboration and support of residents to protect themselves. And I think it also requires a paradigm shift in how we think about it, and the residents here are driving it. I think my main message tonight is going to be that resident activism is as necessary for arriving at effective solutions and just solutions as corrosion control treatment. The lead and copper rule is a regulation that is fixated on corrosion control treatment because it comes from an engineering mindset. We add this chemical and then we're done. And unfortunately, lead in water is not responding to that solution quite well. And unless there are relationships and trust and mutual respect and understanding that in this city, and in fact all across the country, it's the residents who are actually educating the officials about how lead in water works and what the locally appropriate and just solutions are going to be. Unless these voices are heard and there's willingness and the conditions to work together, solutions are going to be hard to develop.
Just so that I understand it, not only is the lead and copper rule supposed to be updated, right, so that there's less lead that's considered to be okay in the water mains and the laterals. There happens to be an issue with lead within the home that is something the city might say, does say. It's unfortunate, but that's your lead.
Yeah, this is a very important question. The lead and copper rule is a regulation that was created to meet Safe Drinking Water Act requirements. The Safe Drinking Water Act requires EPA to develop standards and regulate water for contaminants that are known to cause adverse health effects. And the Safe Drinking Water Act, it's quite clear, was created to protect individuals from consuming water that might make them sick. So the lead and copper rule, in fact, requires water utilities to take certain measures so that the water that comes out of people's taps has very low to no lead. The lead and copper rule is, again, very unique in that way, in that it regulates water that comes out of the tap, not water that comes out of a treatment plant or just the water that reaches the lead lateral. Water utilities, the reason they sample for lead and copper rule compliance at people's homes is because they are mandated to do so. And they need to make sure through the sampling that lead in water levels in people's homes are low enough. And I say this quote unquote, mm-hmm. there's low, you know, really the only safe level of lead in water is zero. And so water utilities are absolutely responsible for the levels of lead that come out of people's taps inside their homes. However, water utilities have also, from the very beginning of the lead and copper rule back in 1991, resisted fiercely this notion that this rule, the lead and copper rule, would make them responsible for any plumbing inside people's homes. And the water utility industry has created this artificial division between public and private plumbing, and they have done it so successfully that this myth has been born that the lead and copper rule requires water utilities to deliver quote-unquote safe water only up to the publicly owned plumbing, and from there on, everybody's on their own to fend for themselves. That is a myth, and that is not at all what the lead and copper rule says, and it's also, of course, not what the Safe Drinking Water Act ever intended. I do want to add, though, that yes, homeowners do own the private part of the plumbing inside their home. And in many cities, they own the lead lateral, the part that goes through private space. That is true. But I don't think that ownership of plumbing goes as far as to say that, therefore, the water utility is not responsible for the lead that is coming out of those plumbing materials. And I say this, first of all, because that's what the lead and copper rule says, but also that plumbing materials, whether they're owned by a homeowner or the water utility, plumbing materials release lead when the water is corrosive enough to make the lead come out of plumbing. And so there's always that interaction between the chemistry of the water and how the plumbing reacts. To take away that relationship and pretend that private plumbing just releases lead all on its own just oversimplifies the science of lead in drinking water. And the other thing also to say is that you know, in contrast to laws that we have passed for lead in paint and lead in gasoline, when it comes to lead in plumbing, we are still adding lead into our brand new fixtures. And not only that, that our law allows for the introduction of lead into new plumbing fixtures, but also our law allows for plumbing manufacturers to slap onto these fixtures the label lead-free. Lead-free plumbing today, what is sold to us as lead-free plumbing, is allowed by law to have a certain amount of lead in it. And even though that amount has been reduced significantly since early 2014, the new definition of lead-free took effect. But still, the brand new fixtures that are out in the market and we are buying and thinking we are all lead-free can actually still cause severe contamination. And we've seen this from sampling that has been done in Flint, Michigan schools that replaced all of their fixtures. And they did see a dramatic decrease in lead in water levels. And that's really fantastic news, but they continue to see high lead levels at some taps, sometimes in the hundreds and even thousands parts per billion. So I think that as much as I think our government agencies and industries are a little bit in the habit of blaming consumers for lead in their water, and that has been going on for a little while, I think that that blaming is really not supported by the facts, because in fact, it's the plumbing manufacturers and the water utility industry, together with EPA, that have continued to allow in the 21st century, 2018, for our plumbing to still not be zero lead, and also have allowed this travesty of the label lead-free to actually not mean zero lead, but mean a little bit of lead that can still harm your child. And I think that this is really where we need grassroots activism and the types of powerful networks as the one that has been developed in Milwaukee to demand common sense and morally sound solutions. This is not going to come from above.
Yana Lambrinidou was a member of the team at Virginia Tech University that uncovered the Flint, Michigan lead contamination crisis, and before that, the crisis in Washington, D.C. She spoke with WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz before an event in Milwaukee last week. You can find much more of our coverage of Milwaukee's lead contamination problem at WUWM.com.